And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is fundamental issues for our country. Each of my guests is discussing something vital to our national interest: healthcare, education, or employment. My next guest is a sought-after expert in human relations and employment trends. Her company, the Herman Group, tracks the trends of the job market in this country. We'll discuss how today's unemployment figures fit with her 2011 predictions that she made the last time that she was on the show. And if you have an opinion about the employment numbers or just want to talk about labor statistics in general, you can call us at 639-0008. Joyce Joya began her business career at the tender age of 14 when she founded her first company, Jack and Jill Parties for Children. Later, at the age of 28, she was the youngest national magazine publisher in the United States. Currently, she is president and CEO of the Herman Group and a company called Employer of Choice Incorporated. Joyce has been on the show before. She's written for numerous publications, Business Week, Entrepreneur, Christian Science Monitor, and she's been on National Public Radio and spoken in 46 of the 50 states and on six continents. Welcome to the show, Joyce. How are you today?
Great to be with you again, Billy.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest, and it couldn't be more timely because the new employment statistics came out today, and the data is what it is, but here's what the data is for people who may not have seen the numbers already. Non-farm payroll jobs increased by 54,000. Now, that on the surface may sound like a good thing, except that economists had predicted the increase to be somewhere between 150,000 and 175,000. So today's numbers fell way, way short of that. In fact, it's the lowest increase since September of 2010. Unemployment rose to 9.1% from 9%. The revised figures for May and April show 39,000 fewer jobs than they had predicted just a month ago. The Labor Department says that severe weather, including the tornadoes and the flooding that we had in the Midwest and the South, did not materially affect the data, which means that that effect will show up in next month's data. The Japanese slowdown because of their earthquake and then, of course, the meltdown of their nuclear reactor did materially affect the figures, and the economy has regained only a fraction of the 8 million jobs that were lost during the recession. So, comments on that. What kind of picture is this painting for U.S. employment, Joyce?
Well, no question. It looks pretty bleak. The forecast that I made back in December of last year was that unemployment would go no lower than 8.0%, and obviously it's kind of remaining around 9%. My revised forecast is that it's probably not going to go below 8.5 unless the federal government sees fit to do some more diddling with the numbers like they did last fall.
Diddling with the numbers. We may talk about that if time predicts, but diddling with the numbers is an interesting way of putting
it, yeah.
how you falsify the labor figures. But
it's not that they falsified it. It's just that they took 700,000 people out of the denominator, and when you do that, then it changes the results.
Well, you say potato, I say potato. Taking those 700,000 out of the denominator is jiggering with the numbers no matter how you look at it.
It is,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, help my audience, if you will, please, Joyce. You and I talked about this off the air before you came on the show today, and that is just some simple arithmetic. Right now, we've lost about 8 million jobs. Now, we're never going to get all 8 million back. Full employment is somewhere way less than those 8 million jobs. But just to regain back to where we were in 2007,
yeah.
So getting back to that level, we need to add about 300,000 jobs per month. That's according to the Department of Labor Statistics. And we just added 54,000 in this particular month. Even if we were to hit that number, 300,000 per month, to get us back to our 2007 employment levels, how many weeks, months, years would that take?
Oh, we're talking about more than 3 years, easily. And There is some positive, though, that's here that I don't know that we're seeing from just this report, and that is that the job postings are up. My favorite barometer of that is a company called Vet Jobs, and their job postings are up by 24.4% over same day last year. So the job postings are up, but the big challenge, Billy, is that we just don't have the people who are trained to take the jobs that are being offered. And we have literally millions of people who are looking for jobs, and they are perfectly capable of handling, many of them, handling jobs that no longer exist. Others of them have higher expectations than this job market will deliver in terms of salaries. So they're not taking the jobs that are being offered because they're holding out looking for salaries like what they realized before, and that's not working either. So we've got some very significant numbers of job openings, but the problem is that the employers can't find people who are willing to or qualified to accept those positions.
And that is always a challenge when you have a recession and jobs are lost, is to retrain people in the new directions. It seemed to me, though, that the administration said that we were going to spend gobs of money in order to retrain people and began setting up retraining programs, which finally took effect really late last year to help train those people who wanted to be retrained. Are you saying that the people who need the retraining are not taking advantage of the programs, or are the programs ineffectual and not getting the job done to train people for the jobs that are available?
I think it's a combination of both. And I don't know if people realize that some of their jobs are just going away permanently. But that is really so. We all know the example of the cashier who now has to be trained in how to use scanners and how to use the new computerized equipment that's in drugstores and supermarkets everywhere. But there are many, many other examples. Let me give you another one. For drugstores, inventory control. You have to be able to operate a handheld scanner in order to receive, in order to take a job now, an entry-level job in a drugstore. If you don't know how to operate their computerized equipment, then, or are willing to learn, then you can't take that job. And what that means to me is that there are a number of older workers who are, to some degree, technologically challenged, who just, for one reason or another, don't want to or can't. I mean, one example that my friend Ted Daywald, who runs Vet Jobs yesterday, gave me is that there is a retired general who is looking for a position as a CFO, and he doesn't know how to operate a laptop computer.
Wow. I mean, that's incomprehensible.
He always had flag officer who handled that for him. So as a consequence, he just never learned. And what Ted believes, and I concur, is that if you want any kind of a job these days, in today's economy, you must be computer literate. You must at least have a basic understanding of Word, Excel, and perhaps even a little bit of Access. And Ted even threw in PowerPoint, but I don't know that everybody needs to know PowerPoint.
Well, it's certainly something that you want to learn, Joyce, no doubt about it. My guest is Joyce Gioia. We're talking about the unemployment statistics that came out today. Joyce, you're right. I don't want to paint too gloomy a picture. There were some bright spots in the numbers that came out. For example, private services employment went up 80,000 jobs last year. Construction went up, surprisingly to me, 2,000 jobs. Doesn't sound like a big number, but the fact that it went up was surprising. Hospitality, though, was down 50,000 jobs. Retail down 80,000 2,000 jobs, manufacturing down another 2,000 jobs. My question to you is this: can we have a reduction in unemployment without construction adding jobs? And it's a double-edged sword. Can construction add jobs without an improving economy?
Well, construction can certainly add jobs, and we would lose jobs in other sectors. And so the answer to your second question is yes. Can the economy improve without adding construction jobs? I think that's a moot point, given all the natural disasters that are happening around this country. However, when we look at what's going on with the housing market and how many different areas of this economy are waffling along, it's going to be a long, hard pull before we see prosperity at levels that we experienced during the Clinton administration.
Well, good point. Joyce, let me ask you a question, if I can, please, about quantitative easing. I mean, the two main purposes for quantitative easing, one and two, were, number one, to improve employment, and number two, to jumpstart housing. So if I went to a restaurant or if I went to a store and I was going to spend my own personal money, I would want to know what I received for my money. As taxpayers, we just spent $700 billion on quantitative easing too. Housing is moribund. What did we get for our $700 billion, Joyce?
The problem is that a lot of that money has not been spent. A lot of that money is sitting on the sidelines, and they're waiting to spend it. They have not really assigned it. There are projects that are on hold for one reason or another, and I can't tell you why, but I know that there are projects involving millions of dollars that were expected to be closed that involved this kind of workforce development, and they just haven't happened. Now, I don't know what's going on inside of our federal government, but I know that that is true.
Well, that's a staggering number, and I'm not going to ask you to comment on things that you don't know about, but it is a little bit frightening that we've just paid $700 billion, and a lot of that money is sitting on the sidelines when it was destined to help improve our economy. It is not improving our economy. It is not helping the construction industry. So it does make you wonder what is happening with our $700 billion.
Now, there's another insight that I can give you, though, and that is in some areas of manufacturing, these dollars are being used to add jobs. I have a client in Columbus, Ohio, that's taking advantage to some degree of this opportunity.
Okay, well, that's good to know that the manufacturing is picking up. And that is consistent with, it's inconsistent with some of the data that came out. Statistics are a little bit lower.
Some manufacturing is picking up.
Yeah, not all manufacturing. That is true. We've got a caller with a question, Joyce, for you. My guest is Joyce Gioia, and it's Robbie on the phone. Hi, Robbie. Thanks for being a loyal listener. Do you have a question? And we just lost Robbie.
Yes.
He'll call back. There he is.
One of the networks on TV had a result of a statement that because the U.S. workers are so much more productive than overseas workers, that as overseas wage rise, they expect to see more jobs coming back. Of course, my students in my economics classes, coming to the article saying that more jobs are going overseas.
Yeah.
What's the effect?
Well, we've just lost Joyce, but while we're waiting for Joyce to get back on the line, Robbie, that's a very good question. Yes, we are starting to see much more efficiency in our U.S. workforce, and that is part of the reason we've experienced a jobless recovery. We now have Joyce back on the line. So, Robbie, would you re-ask your question for Joyce, please?
Yes. Recent study said that the U.S. workers were much more productive than overseas workers, and that as overseas wages are rising, we can expect to see some jobs coming back home to roost.
Yes.
Oh, that was an easy answer. Thank you, Robbie, for calling in. But there's more to the answer than that, Joyce, I'm sure.
The truth is that that is true, and it's already happened, and there's a lot of home shoring that's happening that nobody talks about much, and in part because bad news sells. And if the media has the choice of putting something on the front page of doom and gloom versus the fact that Champion relocated their factory to South Carolina from Mexico, we don't that goes on the you know, somewhere on in the center of the section of the newspaper, buried in a small article, not on the front page. So there is home shoring that is taking place. Manufacturing will increase. Some industries, notably the steel industry, is already doing better. However, not all manufacturing, and it's certainly not universal.
All right. Robbie, thank you for a great question. I learned something. Home shoring, that's a new term that I'm going to take with me. Joyce, we unfortunately have run out of time. If people want to learn more about you or learn more about some of your predictions, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to www.hermangroup.com. They can sign up for the Herman Trend Alert right there. Or they can go to www.hermantrendalert.com. Or they can email me directly at joyce@hermangroup.com.
That is great. I get the Herman Group newsletter. Comes out every Wednesday. Very much worth having. Joyce, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Billy. It's been a pleasure as usual.
Thank you.